Folio, the Vorenhava. Though fashion elites in Leofor have presented more daring designs in past folios, they've found there is no quicker way to influence Alethian Vaden styles than through subtle changes over time in the traditional Vorenhava.
39. Notes. No good can come of two shards settling in one location. It was agreed that we would not interfere with one another, and it disappoints me that so few of the shards have kept to this original agreement. Shallan can take notes for us, Yasna said. Shallan looked up from her notebook. She'd settled against the tile-covered wall, sitting on the floor in her blue hava, and had intended to spend the meeting doing sketches. It had been over a week since her recovery and subsequent meeting with Yasna at the Crystal Pillar. Shallan was feeling better and better, and at the same time less and less like herself. What a surreal experience it was, following Yasna around as if nothing had changed. Today, Dalinar had called a meeting of his Radiance, and Yasna had suggested the basement rooms of the tower because they were so well secured. She was incredibly worried about being spied upon. The rose of dust had been removed from the library floor. Navani's flock of scholars had carefully catalogued every splinter. The emptiness served only to underscore the absence of the information they'd hoped to find. Now everyone was looking at her. Notes? Shallan asked. She'd barely been following the conversation. We could call for brightness, Teshov. So far it was a small group. The Blackthorn, Navani, and their core surge binders, Yasna, Renarin, Shallan, and Kaladin Stormblessed, the Flying Bridgeman. Adolin and Elokar were away, visiting Vaidenar to survey the military capacities of Taravangian's army. Malata was working the Oathgate for them. No need to call in another scribe, Yasna said. We covered shorthand in your training, Shallan. I'd see how well you've retained the skill. Be fastidious. We will need to report to my brother what we determine here. The rest of them had settled into a group of chairs except for Kaladin, who stood leaning against the wall, looming like a thundercloud. He had killed Helleran, her brother. The emotion of that peaked out, but Shallan smothered it, stuffing it into the back of her mind. Kaladin wasn't to be blamed for that. He'd just been defending his Bright Lord. She stood up, feeling like a chastened child. The weight of their stares prodded her to walk over and take a seat beside Yasna, with her pad open and pencil ready.
So, Kaladin said, according to the Stormfather, not only is the Almighty dead, but he condemned 10 people to an eternity of torture. We call them heralds, and they're not only traitors to their oaths, they're probably also mad. We had one of them in our custody, likely the maddest of the lot, but we lost him in the turmoil of getting everyone to Urethiru. In short, everyone who might have been able to help us is crazy, dead, a traitor, or some combination of the three. He folded his arms. Figures.
Yasna glanced at Shallan. She sighed, then recorded a summary of what he'd said, even though it was already a summary.
So what do we do with this knowledge? Renarin said, leaning forward with his hands clasped.
We must curb the Voidbringer assault, Yasna said. We can't let them secure too great a foothold.
The Parshmen aren't our enemies, Kaladin said softly.
Shallan glanced at him. There was something about that wavy dark hair, that grim expression. Always serious, always solemn, and so tense, like he had to be strict with himself to contain his passion. Of course there are enemies, Yasna said. They're in the process of conquering the world. Even if your report indicates they aren't as immediately destructive as we feared, they are still an enormous threat.
They just want to live better lives, Kaladin said. I can believe, Yasna said, that the common Parshmen have such a simple motive. But their leaders? They will pursue our extinction.
Agreed, Navani said. They were born out of a twisted thirst to destroy humankind.
The Parshmen are the key, Yasna said, shuffling through some pages of notes. Looking over what you discovered, it seems that all Parshmen can bond with ordinary Spren as part of their natural life cycle. What we've been calling Voidbringers are instead a combination of a Parshman with some kind of hostile Spren or spirit.
The Fused,
Dalinar said.
Great, Kaladin said. Fine. Let's fight them, then. Why do the common folk have to get crushed in the process?
Perhaps, Yasna said, you should visit my uncle's vision and see for yourself the consequences of a soft heart. First-hand witness of a desolation might change your perspective.
I've seen war, Brightness. I'm a soldier. Problem is, ideals have expanded my focus. I can't help but see the common men among the enemy. They're not monsters.
Dalinar raised a hand to stop Yasna's reply.
Your concern does you credit, Captain, Dalinar said. And your reports have been exceptionally timely. Do you honestly see a chance for an accommodation here?
I don't know, sir. Even the common Parshmen are furious at what was done to them.
I can't afford to stay my hand from war, Dalinar said. Everything you say is right, but it is also nothing new. I have never gone to battle where some poor fools on either side, men who didn't want to be there in the first place, weren't going to bear the brunt of the pain.
Maybe, Kaladin said, that should make you reconsider those other wars, rather than using them to justify this one.
Shallan's breath caught. It didn't seem the sort of thing you said to the Blackthorn.
Would that it were so simple, Captain.
Dalinar sighed loudly, looking weathered to Shallan.
Let me say this. If we can be certain of one thing, it is the morality of defending our homeland. I don't ask you to go to war idly, but I will ask you to protect. Alethkar is besieged. The men doing it might be innocents, but they are controlled by those who are evil.
Kaladin nodded slowly.
The king has asked my help in opening the Oath Gate. I've agreed to give it to him.
Once we secure our homeland, Dalinar said, I promise to do something I'd never have contemplated before hearing your reports. I'll seek to negotiate. I'll see if there is some way out of this that doesn't involve smashing our armies together.
Negotiate? Yasna said. Uncle, these creatures are crafty, ancient, and angry. They spent millennia torturing the heralds just to return and seek our destruction.
We'll see, Dalinar said. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to contact anyone in the city with the visions. The Stormfather has found Kolinar to be a dark spot to him.
Navani nodded. That seems, unfortunately, to coordinate with the failure of the span reeds in the city. Captain Kaladin's report confirms what our last notes from the city said. The enemy is mobilizing for an assault on the capital. We can't know what the city's status will be once our strike force arrives. You might have to infiltrate an occupied city, Captain.
Please send that it isn't so, Renarin whispered, eyes down. How many would have died on those walls, fighting nightmares?
We need more information, Yasna said.
Captain Kaladin, how many people can you take with you to Alethkar?
I plan to fly at the front of a storm, Kaladin said, like I did returning to Urethiru. It's a bumpy ride, but maybe I can fly over the top of the winds. I need to test it. Anyway, I think I could bring a small group.
You won't need a large force, Dalinar said. You, a few of your best squires. I'd send Adolin with you too, so you have another shard bearer in an emergency. Six, perhaps. You, three of your men, the king, Adolin. Get past the enemy, sneak into the palace, and activate the Oath Gate.
Pardon if this is out of line, Kaladin said. But Elokar himself is the odd one. Why not just send me and Adolin? The king will probably slow us down.
The king needs to go, for personal reasons. Will there be a problem between you?
I'll do what is right, regardless of my feelings, sir. And I might be beyond those feelings anyway now.
This is too small, Jasnah mumbled.
Shallan started, then glanced at her.
Too small?
Not ambitious enough, Jasnah said more firmly. By the Stormfather's explanation, the Fused are immortal. Nothing stops their rebirth now that the Heralds have failed. This is our real problem. Our enemy has a near-endless supply of Parshman bodies to inhabit, and judging by what the good captain has confirmed through experience, these Fused can access some kind of surge binding. How do we fight against that?
Shallan looked up from her notepad, glancing toward the others in the room. Renarin still leaned forward, hands clasped, eyes on the floor. Navani and Dalinar were sharing a look.
Kaladin continued to lean against the wall, arms folded, but he shifted his posture, uncomfortable.
Well, Dalinar finally said, we'll have to take this one goal at a time. First, Kolinar.
Pardon, Uncle, Jasnah said. While I don't disagree with that first step, now is not the time to think only of the immediate future. If we are to avoid a desolation that breaks society, then we'll need to use the past as our guide and make a plan.
She's right, Renarin whispered. We're facing something that killed the Almighty himself. We fight terrors that break the minds of men and ruin their souls. We can't think small.
He ran his hands through his hair, which was marked by less yellow than his brother's.
Almighty, we have to think big. But can we take it all in without going mad ourselves?
Dalinar took a deep breath.
Jasnah, you have a suggestion of where to start this plan?
Yes, the answer is obvious. We need to find the Heralds.
Kaladin nodded in agreement.
Then, Jasnah added, we need to kill them.
What? Kaladin demanded. Woman, are you insane?
The Stormfather laid it out, Jasnah said, unperturbed. The Heralds made a pact. When they died, their souls traveled to damnation and trapped the spirits of the Voidbringers, preventing them from returning.
Yeah, then the Heralds were tortured until they broke.
The Stormfather said their pact was weakened, but did not say it was destroyed, Jasnah said. I suggest that we at least see if one of them is willing to return to damnation. Perhaps they can still prevent the spirits of the enemy from being reborn. It's either that, or we completely exterminate the Parshmen so that the enemy has no hosts.
She met Kaladin's eyes.
In the face of such an atrocity, I would consider the sacrifice of one or more Heralds to be a small price.
Storms, Kaladin said, standing up straight. Have you no sympathy?
I have plenty, Bridgeman. Fortunately, I temper it with logic. Perhaps you should consider acquiring some at a future date.
Listen, Brightness, Kaladin began. I... Enough, Captain,
Dalinar said.
He gave Jasnah a glance. Both fell quiet. Jasnah without so much as a peep.
Shallan had never seen her respond to someone with the respect she gave Dalinar.
Jasnah, Dalinar said. Even if the Pact of the Heralds still holds, we can't know that they'd stay in damnation, or the mechanics for locking away the Voidbringers there. That said, locating them seems like an excellent first step. They must know much that can greatly assist us. I will leave it to you, Jasnah, to plan out how to accomplish that.
What of the Unmade? Renarin said. There will be others.
like the creature we found down here.
Navani has been researching them,
Dalinar said.
We need to go even farther, Uncle,
Yasna said.
We need to watch the movements of the Voidbringers. Our only hope is to defeat their armies so soundly that even if their leaders are constantly reborn, they lack the manpower to overwhelm us.
Protecting Alethkar, Kaladin said, doesn't have to mean completely crushing the parchment, and
if you wish, Captain, Yasna snapped. I can get you some mink kits to cuddle while the adults plan. None of us want to talk about this, but that does not make it any less inevitable.
I'd love that, Kaladin responded. In turn, I'll get you some eels to cuddle. You'll feel right at home.
Yasna curiously smiled.
Let me ask this, Captain.
Do you think ignoring the movement of Voidbringer troops would be wise?
Probably not, he admitted.
And do you think, perhaps, that you could train your squire windrunners to fly up high and scout for us? If span reeds are proving unreliable these days, we'll need another method of watching the enemy. I'd happily cuddle sky eels as you offer, if your team would be willing to spend some time imitating them.
Kaladin looked to Dalinar, who nodded appreciatively.
Excellent, Yasna said. Uncle, your coalition of monarchs is a superb idea. We need to pen the enemy in and prevent them from overrunning all of Roshar. If...
She trailed off.
Shallan paused, looking at the doodle she'd been doing. Actually, it was a bit more complex than a doodle. It was kind of a full sketch of Kaladin's face, with passionate eyes and a determined expression. Yasna had noticed a creation spren in the form of a small gemstone that had appeared on the top of her page, and Shallan blushed, shooing it away.
Perhaps, Yasna said, glancing at Shallan's sketchbook. We could do with a short break, Uncle.
If you wish, he said. I could use something to drink.
They broke up, Dalinar and Navani chatting softly as they went to check with the guards and servants in the main hallway. Shallan watched them go with a sense of longing as she felt Yasna loom over her.
Let us chat,
Yasna said, nodding toward the far end of the long rectangular room. Shallan sighed, closed her notebook, and followed Yasna to the other end, near a pattern of tiles on the wall. This far from the spheres brought for the meeting, the lighting was dim.
May I?
Yasna said, holding out her hand for Shallan's notebook. She relinquished it.
A fine depiction of the young captain, Yasna said. I see 3 lines of notes here, after you were pointedly instructed to take the minutes. We should have sent for a scribe. We had a scribe.
To take notes is not a lowly task, Shallan. It is a service you can provide.
If it's not a lowly task, Shallan said, then perhaps you should have done it.
Yasna closed the sketchpad and fixed Shallan with a calm, level stare, the type that made Shallan squirm.
I remember, Yasna said, a nervous, desperate young woman, frantic to earn my goodwill.
Shallan didn't reply.
I understand, Yasna said, that you have enjoyed independence. What you accomplished here is remarkable, Shallan. You even seem to have earned my uncle's trust. A challenging task.
Then maybe we can just call the wardship finished, eh?
Shallan said.
I mean, I'm a full radiant now.
Radiant, yes, Shallan said.
Full?
Where's your armor?
Armor?
Yasna sighed softly, opening up the sketchpad again.
Shallan, she said in a strangely comforting tone. I'm impressed. I am impressed, truly. But what I've heard of you recently is troubling. You've ingratiated yourself with my family,
and made good on the causal betrothal to Adolin. Yet here you are with wandering eyes, as this sketch testifies. You skip meetings that Dalinar calls, Yasna continued, soft but immovable. When you do go, you sit at the back and barely pay attention. He tells me that half the time you find an excuse to slip out early. You investigated the presence of an unmaid in the tower and frightened it off basically alone. Yet you never explained how you found it when Dalinar's soldiers could not. She met Shallan's eyes. You've always hidden things from me. Some of those secrets were very damaging, and I find myself unwilling to believe you don't have others. Shallan bit her lip, but nodded. That was an invitation, Yasna said, to talk to me. Shallan nodded again. She wasn't working with the Ghost Bloods. That was Vale. And Yasna didn't need to know about Vale. Yasna couldn't know about Vale. Very well, Yasna said with a sigh. Your wardship is not finished, and won't be until I'm convinced that you can meet minimum requirements of scholarship, such as taking shorthand notes during an important conference. Your path as a Radiant is another matter. I don't know that I can guide you. Each order was distinctive in its approach. But as a young man will not be excused from his geography lessons simply because he has achieved competence with the sword, I will not release you from your duties to me simply because you have discovered your powers as a Radiant. Yasna handed back the sketchpad and walked toward the ring of chairs. She settled next to Renarin, prodding him gently to speak with her. He looked up for the first time since the meeting had begun and nodded, saying something Shallan couldn't hear. Pattern said. She is wise. That's perhaps her most infuriating feature, Shallan said. Storms. She makes me feel like a child. Worst part is she's probably right, Shallan said. Around her, I do act more like a child. It's like part of me wants to let her take care of everything, and I hate, hate, hate that about myself. Is there a solution? I don't know. Perhaps. Act like an adult? Shallan put her hands to her face, groaning softly and rubbing her eyes with her fingers. She'd basically asked for that, hadn't she? Come on, she said. Let's go to the rest of the meeting. As much as I want an excuse to get out of here. Pattern said. Something about this room. What? Shallan asked. Something, Pattern said in his buzzing way. It has memories, Shallan. Memories? Did he mean in Shadesmar? She'd avoided traveling there. That was at least one thing in which she'd listened to Yasna. She made her way back to her seat, and after a moment's thought, slipped Yasna a quick note. Pattern says this room has memories. Worth investigating in Shadesmar? Yasna regarded the note, then wrote back. I found that we should not ignore the offhand comments of our Spren. Press him. I will investigate this place. Thank you for the suggestion. The meeting started again, and now turned to discussion of specific kingdoms around Roshar. Yasna was most keen on getting the Shin to join them. The Shattered Plains held the easternmost of the Oath Gates, and that was already under Alethi control. If they could gain access to the one farthest to the west, they could travel the breadth of Roshar, from the entry point of the High Storms to the entry point of the Everstorms, in a heartbeat. They didn't talk tactics too specifically. That was a masculine art, and Dalinar would want his high princes and generals to discuss the battlefields. Still, Shallan didn't fail to notice the tactical terms Yasna used now and then. In things like this, Shallan had difficulty understanding the woman. In some ways, Jasna seemed fiercely masculine. She studied whatever she pleased, and she talked tactics as easily as she talked poetry. She could be aggressive, even cold. Shallan had seen her straight up execute thieves who had tried to rob her. Beyond that, well, it probably was best not to speculate on things with no meaning, but people did talk. Jasna had turned down every suitor for her hand, including some very attractive and influential men. People wondered, was she perhaps simply not interested? All of this should have resulted in a person who was decidedly unfeminine. Yet Jasna wore the finest makeup and wore it well, with shadowed eyes and bright red lips. She kept her safe hand covered and preferred intricate and fetching styles of braids from her hairdresser. Her writings and her mind made her the very model of Voren femininity. Next to Jasna, Shallan felt pale, stupid, and completely lacking in curves. What would it be like to be so confident, so beautiful yet so unconstrained all at once? Surely Jasna Kolin had far fewer problems in life than Shallan. At the very least, she created far fewer for herself than Shallan did. It was about this point that Shallan realized she'd missed a good 15 minutes of the meeting and had again lapsed in her note-taking. Blushing furiously, she huddled up on her chair and did her best to remain focused for the rest of the meeting. At the end, she presented a sheet of formal shorthand to Jasna. The woman looked it over, then cocked a perfectly shaped eyebrow at the line at the center where Shallan had grown distracted. "Dalinar said some stuff here," the line said. "It was very important and useful, so I'm sure you remember it without needing a reminder." Shallan smiled apologetically and shrugged. "Please write this out in longhand," Jasna said, handing it back. "Have a copy sent to my mother and to my brother's head scribe." Shallan took it as a dismissal and rushed away. She felt like a student who had just been released from lessons, which angered her. At the same time, she wanted to run off and immediately do as Jasna had asked, to renew her mistress's faith in her, which angered her even more. She ran up the steps out of the tower's basement, using stormlight to prevent fatigue. The different sides within her clashed, snapping at each other. She imagined months spent under Jasna's watchful care, training to become a mousy scribe, as her father had always wanted. She remembered the days in Carbranth, when she'd been so uncertain, so timid. She couldn't return to that. She wouldn't. But what to do instead? When she finally reached her rooms, Pattern was buzzing at her. She tossed aside her sketch pad and satchel, digging out Vale's coat and hat. Vale would know what to do. However, pinned to the inside of Vale's coat was a sheet of paper. Shallan froze, then looked around the room, suddenly anxious. Hesitantly, she unpinned the sheet and unfolded it. The top read, "You have accomplished the task we set out for you. You have investigated the Unmade, and not only learned something of it, but also frightened it away. As promised, here is your reward. The following letter explains the truth about your deceased brother, Nan Helleran, acolyte of the Radiant Order of the Skybreakers.